Let's take our Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. We're going to speak just for a few moments tonight. We've been doing a series of why we believe what we believe, and we'll continue that tonight. Not enough just to say you believe something, and certainly you shouldn't just because somebody else said so, but it ought to be your heartfelt desire and truth and conviction about what you believe, and you ought to know why. Bible tells us to give a reason to every man that asketh us, a reason of the hope that lies within us. And so in Genesis 13, we'll start tonight. We're going to talk tonight, and when I say the word, you'll probably, you know, there's something about us that sort of just convulses a little bit when we mention the word. But the word is, and probably you won't even understand what I say, why we believe in separation. Why we believe in separation. Now, most people, when they use that term, separation, they don't talk about, they're not really talking about separation. They're talking about standards. I'm not talking about standards tonight. I'm talking about separation. Separation. Because, you know, the Bible talks to us about how we are supposed, as Christians, we're supposed to separate ourselves from things, from people, and to God. God wants all there is of you. And the truth is, so many times God's people, somebody else has a piece of you. And God's a jealous God. He didn't want that. He wants you to be separated unto Him. You're for Him. You're not for yourself or somebody else. And so we have to separate ourselves from some things. If we're really going to belong to God like He wants us to, and our lives belong to Him like they should, then we have to separate ourselves from some things. And some people aren't willing to do that. And that really, that word has taken on a bad connotation. It shouldn't. And why do we believe in separation? Well, number one, because God told me to separate. So, I mean, that's really enough, because I live my life by the Bible. I don't live my life by what I think. I don't live my life by how I feel. I don't live my life, you know, put my finger up in the wind and see what society's doing. That you can't live that way. You have to live by the Word of God. As we saw Sunday night, it's supposed to be our final authority. So if God tells me to separate from people, things, whatever, then that's what I'm supposed to do. The second reason I ought to be separate is because the majority of the whole world is on a train wreck. And it just makes sense for me not to be on board that wreck. You understand? I've told people this before. You know, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, everyone in Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't a Sodomite. But they all died. You understand what I'm saying? Because they were, you know, when God gets mad, you don't want to be in the vicinity. You understand what I'm saying? You want to be far away. And so there's a principle in the Bible about separation so that our lives don't have the same problems that other people's lives have. And so that the next generation, we can pass on to a next generation real biblical Christianity instead of whatever the world makes up the next generation. Now, the first reference to the word separate in your Bible, or anybody that's separated from someone, is in Genesis 13. It's the law first mention is, the first time you find something in the Bible, it's probably a pretty good indication you stop, and it sort of will give you a pattern or help for the study of that subject or whatever it might be. And Genesis chapter 13, and it's really not a bad thing. It's not a hateful thing. It was a necessary thing. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Now there's the first mention of our word. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So the first instance of anybody separating one from the other or from any other thing is that Abraham and Lot are going to separate from each other and they're brethren. You understand? That's very important. You know, sometimes you have to separate from brethren. And it's not a bad thing, and it doesn't have to be a hateful thing, but to avoid certain problems, sometimes you've got to separate from people. Here it was, they had too much, and there was a fight that was starting between the people that were working for them, and it just made sense. It was a better deal for their lives to be separated. Because what was happening with things being together was there was strife and contention and problems. And so the first mention of separation in the Bible just made things better. It was something that made things better for Abram in his life. Abram and Lot did not have a problem with one another. The Bible talked about Lot being a just man. Of course, we know what happened to him when he went on down into Sodom and Gomorrah, the plains there. But Lot was a just man, but Abram separated from Lot because it was better for him that he did do that. You know, sometimes in our lives, it's better for you to get away from some people. It's helpful to your life. You know, we ought to be mature enough spiritually to know that certain people aren't the best for us in life. And sometimes it's not always a sin issue. And so here is two brothers that needed to separate because of the circumstances that surrounded them. They weren't hateful about it. They weren't arrogant about it. They weren't ugly about it. They weren't unkind about it. They weren't proud about it. And may I say this, that there are some people that when they talk about separation, those are the things that come up, which gives it a bad rap to everybody. And they say, well, I know people that believe in separation and they just thought they were better than everybody else. Well, that's bad. That's wrong. That's sinful. But that does not mean that we're not supposed to be separated. You understand? Abram and Lot separated, but there was not pride there. Somebody said, man, I know some people that had some separation in life, and they were so ugly, and they were so arrogant, and they were so unkind. Well, that's not right. But that doesn't destroy the truth that God wants you to keep away from some people. See, some people think, wow, we're just supposed to love everybody, be happy, and just get along with everybody. No, God wants you to stay away from some people. Matter of fact, He commands you to do that. Okay? Now, I'll give you one other negative verse about separation, because I've had my belly full of that too. I've seen some people that were just abject hypocrites. You know, they delight themselves into separating from everybody, and that's their mark of spirituality. And that's not a mark of spirituality, because you separate yourself from people. As a matter of fact, it can be a very hypocritical thing. Go to Galatians chapter 2. I'll read you that one, and then we'll get into the Bible, what God tells us about separation and why we believe in separation. And it really is one of the marks that distinguishes our church from many other places, because today, especially today, people don't believe this. And it's not enough for you just to believe it, but you need to know why. But here's a negative connotation, okay? This is where it's wrong. Galatians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 11. Galatians 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew, and there's the word, separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So the hypocrisy of Peter was that he separated from people that he wasn't supposed to separate with so he would look good. You see that in the Bible? We're not to separate from others so it makes us look good. That's not the point. The point is, we're trying to obey God. We're trying to do the will of God. We're trying to stay away from those that will hurt us. And here, in Galatians chapter 2, Peter wants to save face with the Jews, and he knows that it's perfectly all right for Jews and Gentiles now to eat together. But when the rest of the Jews come, he gets up from the table and separates himself so he'll look more spiritual than everybody else. And that was wicked. You see how that separation showed a bad heart, not a right heart. So you got to be careful with that. You see? Usually when I've had to separate from people, it was heartbreaking. It was not something I wanted to do or I delighted in. It's something I knew I had to do. It's something I knew God wanted me to do. All right, so now let's get into the text. Let's start in Leviticus 20, and let me just show you some principles of what God does with His people through the Bible. Leviticus chapter 20, and then we'll get into the New Testament. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 24. And by the way, Jesus, you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 7:26 that Jesus, that's a really important verse for you. Hebrews 7:26, Jesus was separate from sinners. That's what the Bible says. But He was not unkind. He was not arrogant. Right? But they all, you say, well, I thought He ate with sinners. He did. You know, you can sit down with someone and they know that you're different than they are. And they know that you do not approve of what they're doing. And He did all those things to reach those sinners. But He wasn't their buddy-buddy. He wasn't accepting their lifestyle. The Bible says He was separate from sinners. But He loved them. How do you know? He died for them. But He was going to keep Himself separate from them. So in Leviticus chapter 20, here starts some principles of separation that God gives for His people. Leviticus 20, verse 24, watch it. God says, but I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, look at the Bible, which have separated you from other people. You know, the very mark, the very characteristic that God has of people means they're different from the other people. Or if God's people don't have certain characteristics and different characteristics than the devil's people or the world's people, then how do you know whose people's who? You see what I'm saying? He separated them from other people. And everything about Israel is different. Even today, thousands of years later, they are so weird. And I don't say that in a bad or derogatory. I've been over to Israel. I've talked with them. I've prayed for them. But I mean, they go out of their way to be different. I was talking to one Jew over there at the Wailing Wall. And I said, man, look, I'm praying for you guys. I'm glad you guys are praying. And you're over here reading the Bible and spending all this time. But let me ask you a question. When I read the Old Testament about Jewish people praying, you guys are always on your knees or on your face. And not a one of you are on your knees or on your face. You're standing at this wall, standing upright, rocking back and forth, and not a one of you are kneeling, not a one of you. Why is that? And it caught him off guard. And his final answer was this. He said, well, we're not going to pray kneeling because you people do. I thought, what an answer. In other words, because Baptists pray kneeling and because Catholics and all these other religions pray kneeling, and even Muslims, they get on their face still and pray. And the Jew says, we're different and we're not going to do that. And I tried to say, well, what about Abraham falling on his face? And what about David falling on his face? And I tried, well, yeah, but, well, we're just different. I said, yeah, you're definitely different, that's for sure. Look at Numbers chapter 8. And you know what? As I say that, there is something in you, and probably somebody in here tonight, you don't want to be different from other people. And you ought to examine that. God's people are never supposed to just fit in and amalgamate with the rest of society. We're supposed to be different. If we're not, we don't have anything else to offer than what they have. There's supposed to be a difference. Numbers chapter 8. So He separated them from the people. He even went a step further. Numbers chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, "Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel. And the Levites shall be mine." So he takes Israel, he separates them from all the people of the world, and then he goes down into Israel and he takes this group of Levites and he separates them from the rest of the Levites, from the rest of the children of Israel. They couldn't live where the rest of them lived. They didn't have the inheritance. They had a special designation. God has always been a God of separation. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Why do we believe in separation? Because it's part of God's character to separate things and people. And it's not an ugly thing. It's for the benefit. It's for the benefit of His people. It's for the benefit of the gospel and the testimony of Christ. Matthew chapter 25, the Bible says in verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall," what's that word? "Separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Now people have tried to make this story about God separating people and throwing one into hell and putting one into heaven. But that they didn't even read the words. This is Jesus separating the nations. You know, God separated and divided where He wanted people to live in this world. He started that with Babylon. And you know what, man? Look, listen. And I'm going to tread lightly because I know that's just the way it is today. But God made certain people to live in certain places and man says, "I don't want to stay here." And it just goes all amalgamated. Well, you know what He's going to do when He comes back again? Jesus, when He sits on His throne, He says, "Okay, this nation, you go over there. This nation, you go over there." And He is going to keep these nations together and He's going to separate them. God has always been a God that separated things. And man doesn't, there's something about man that doesn't like that. I don't like that. Well, that's the way God is. And that's why people don't understand. They get mad at God. Why doesn't God just let everybody go to heaven? Is there not going to be people separated? Remember that great gulf? And they were separated, one from the rich man and Lazarus? Because there are people that are God's people and there are people that aren't God's people. And they're not just all supposed to be mixed and mingled together. And look, that's just the principle of how God deals with things. Now, if you'll live right, this is what will happen in your life. Grab Luke chapter 6. You really won't have to worry about it too much. Look, Luke chapter 6 and Jude verse 19. If you will live godly, remember that scripture says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You want me to tell you why ungodly people get along so well with some Christians? Because those Christians don't live godly enough and doesn't make them uncomfortable enough. If you'll live close to God, if you'll be just like Jesus, you know what will happen? I'll read it to you. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. Jesus said in Luke 6, 22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." And there's a preacher, "I don't want anybody to hate me." Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have people hate you and get the blessing of God, or would you rather everybody like you and God be disapproved? "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." Look at your Bible. "And when they shall separate you from their company." We don't want you around here anymore. You're a wet blanket on our party. You are just a not on the law. We can't have any fun with you around. Get out of here. You know, my brother, when he wasn't right with God, he was the life of every party. He was the most popular. Everybody wanted to be around him. And when he gave his life to Jesus Christ and started living right and reading his Bible and praying and going to church all the time and singing praise to God and trying to do what God wanted him to do, he didn't have to go to all those people and say, "I need to get away from you." They said, "You are weird now. What has happened to you? We don't want to be around you anymore." And I'm telling you, when worldly people are comfortable around you all the time, there's something wrong with you. Really. And you don't have to be ugly and hateful and arrogant. You just have to be like Jesus. You're not going to talk like they talk. You're not going to tell the stories they tell. You're not going to, right? Guy called me about buying my vehicle the other day, and he started talking, and he just was giving me this story, and he threw in a curse word over the phone. He threw in a curse word in this little story he was telling, and he laughed, and on my end it was just dead silence. And you could feel the uncomfortableness on the other end of the line of the phone. And then he started backing up and trying to apologize. You know why? Because he couldn't be comfortable saying, and I didn't even say, hey man, that's wicked, quit that. No, I wanted to sell my car. Okay? But this is what I did. I was so deadly quiet. I didn't go along with his little joke, his little comment. And it made him terribly uncomfortable. And I just let the ice hang out there. I just kept it out there and didn't say anything. Until he started backing up and saying, well, you know, I'm sorry about this, you know. I said, all right, how much you give me? But what I'm trying to tell you is, there's something wrong when ungodly people are comfortable around somebody that's supposed to be a Christian. Because godly and ungodly don't work. Right. It's like, you know, it'd be like Alabama and Auburn fans enjoying the game together. I mean, Jude verse 19. I don't do well with that. I'm not going to those things. Y'all do all you want to. When they're jumping up and down cheering for Auburn, I'm not having a good time. I'm going to stay with my people. You understand? So when we're losing, we can all pout together. There is comfort in feeling bad with people together. Now, you can say what you want. What I just said makes a lot of sense in life. And I'm telling you, if you're comfortable around people that don't love your Bible and don't love your God and don't live right and don't do right, and they're all involved in the sins of the world, and everything's just hunky-dory and it's just a great relationship, there is something wrong. It's just not supposed to go that way. Jude, verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So sensual people, they don't want to be around godly people. People that don't like the Spirit of God, they're not going to want to be around people that are filled with the Spirit. So a lot of this will take care of yourself. If you'll just be a really dedicated, Spirit-filled Christian, people won't want to be around you that aren't good for you. A lot of them will just stay away. If you'll identify with Jesus Christ, the world doesn't love Jesus Christ. If you'll identify yourself with the Bible and the truths of the Bible, the world's not interested in that. And if that will be your moniker, and if that will be your love, and if that will be your interest, it'll keep away some of the people that ought not be in your life. Amen, amen. First John says, you know, they went out from us because they were not of us. In other words, they didn't want to be there. Okay, 2 Corinthians. I got three passages. I'll be finished. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Actually, I got more than three. I got 3 points. I shouldn't have said that. 2 Corinthians 6. Okay, first of all, why do we believe in separation? Well, here's the text. God tells us to separate ourselves from unbelievers, unrighteous, and unclean people. Okay? This is New Testament Christianity. This is why we separate. You shouldn't want to run around with people that social drink or do dope or listen to bad music. God says stay away from unclean things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. People are watching their pornography and whoring around doing all that. You're supposed to be away from people like that. And by the way, away from them, not just in the sense of their physical presence, away from them on the internet. That's one of the worst. Some people think they're separated because they don't have ungodly, worldly, physical relationships, but they have ungodly, worldly, internet relationships. That's not a separated life. 2 Corinthians 6:14. This is what God says. Not us mean, independent, Baptist, fundamental people just say all this stuff. No, this is the Bible. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So don't marry an unbeliever. Your best friend should not be an unbeliever. Amen. You should not have more in common with unbelievers. On the web or in your life. Be not unequally yoked together. What's a yoke? That's, you know, they put two animals and they stick them together. God says don't get together with unbelieving people. For what? Now we want to witness to them, but that's different than being together with them. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers for what fellowship? You ought to underline that word. That's an important word in separation. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? If you're saved, you can't have, God tells you to separate yourself from unrighteousness. You say, well, I didn't do it. Well, if you listen to it, if you just went along with it, you're party to it, you see. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Like as Christians say, you know, I went to my college reunion, but I didn't drink, but we were in a bar. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? It doesn't go together. Well, you know, I just went to the prom, but you know, I don't get into all the worldly music and all the stuff that goes along with that and the putting their hands on each other, slow dancing. I don't go along with that. It's not just it's that. It's what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness. It's not supposed to go together. That's separation. Keep reading. He says, and what communion hath light with darkness, verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore, because of all this, because you're not supposed to get along with unbelievers and unrighteousness and darkness and Belial and infidels and idols, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, say the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So God tells us to separate us ourselves from unclean people. He says in Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I guarantee you people won't want to hang around you if you start reproving them of their unrighteousness. Even if you do it in the most loving, kind, respectful way. If you look at them and say, excuse me, that's a sin, that's wrong. And you can have a big smile on your face and flowers in your hands. But if you tell them that what they're doing is sin, they will not want to be around you. You say, well, I wouldn't want to do that. Why? Well, then they wouldn't like me. Yeah, that's the point. See, you're wanting them to like you more than you're wanting God to use you to help them. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I tell you what, a lot of these Christians that would never separate themselves from anybody, they're going to have a lot to answer for when they stand before God, and all these people they hobnobbed with end up in hell and they never said anything. Can you imagine somebody getting thrown into hell and they worked with a Christian all their life and they thought that person was just like they were and they were okay? Never witnessed to them, never gave them the gospel, never stood up for Jesus, and they get thrown in hell. Can you imagine? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Let this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Check. That's where you live. 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Absolutely right. Covetous, yes, sir. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than love. What a list of sins. And that's where we live. That's where you live. Well, what am I supposed to do about it? Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Look at the last phrase of verse 5. From such turn away. Turn away from these people. Why? Because they will infect you. You know, have you seen all the people in Asia wearing these masks because of all these viruses and stuff going around? And you know, people are dying. They say, you know, they can't control this thing. And they don't want this thing to spread, right? And you know what they do? They quarantine people. You know what an ugly thing that is to quarantine people. Shouldn't people be able to go wherever they want to go? Not if something bad's getting spread. Do you understand the principle? So they'll walk around wearing masks. I bet they don't even care how it looks in fashion. Well, it's not very vogue to put my mask on it. You know how dumb that looks? You got, you know, a $500 outfit and you got a big old mask on your head. But they're all wearing it. You know why? They don't want to get an infection. God says there needs to be some separation or you're getting... There are a lot of Christians that are more concerned about getting the flu than they are getting covetousness or bit by the sins of this age. You understand? And so God says, you got to turn away. You got to turn away from this. Because if you're not careful, they'll creep into your house. That's what he said in the next verse. He talks about, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captains silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Just deceiving people. God says you've got to get away from them. You know what? It'd be a great day if you could come to the realization that there are some people you can't take being around because they affect you so much. Brother Jim Fleur told me a story one time. He said he went to a certain school. And he was only there a few months, and he said, I got to leave this school. Because he started mimicking everything that the president of the school was doing. I mean, from the way he was talking with his voice, to the kind of pet he bought, to all of his likes and dislikes. I mean, he was turning into a mimic of this guy because this guy had such an overwhelming personality. It was just, he couldn't help it. It was rubbing off on him. He said, man, I got to get out of here. You know, most people would never come to that realization. Are we mature enough in the Lord to know, hey, this person's not good for me, and I can't handle them around me in my life? He says you need to turn away from these. Go to Romans 16 real quick. And grab 1 Timothy 6 with your other hand. Romans 16, 1 Timothy 6. So God says, number one, we are separate from unbelievers, from unrighteous, and from the unclean. And then Romans chapter 16, the Bible tells us to separate from anyone that is in opposition to good doctrine. It's not just people that are lost or people that have wicked sensual lives. It's also people that have the wrong doctrine. Romans chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 17, would you look at it? Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And what does that say? There are some people that you need to avoid. God said that. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to avoid people that don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you keep walking together with them, can two walk together except they be agreed? Pretty much you'll not want to serve Jesus Christ. Who's your heroes? Who do you look up to? Who do you want to be like? If it's not somebody that's a servant of Jesus Christ, then you're deceived. You need to avoid people that are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ according to the doctrine that you've learned. 18. But they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. In other words, they were too simple-minded than to avoid the people in their lives that were going to deceive them and change the way they think and the way they believe. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm glad that what my grandfather believed became a reality in my life. Not just my parents, but my grandparents. And the things passed down from the Bible that were passed down to me. I'm glad I didn't let someone else in my head to talk me out of it. God says, avoid those people. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, look at it from such, withdraw thyself. Guys, do you really not think that we don't have a generation filled with people just like that was described there? How many Christians withdraw themselves from that? It's just so easy just to go along with it. God says don't do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm on my last little deal here. 1 Corinthians 5. And with the other hand, get 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So question, do you believe in separation? Don't tell me you believe it if you don't practice it. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you say, preacher, how can I separate from all the ungodly people? They're everywhere. Well, we're talking about fellowship, and now it's going to get even more specific. He said, separate from unrighteous, unclean, unbelievers. He said, separate from those that are in opposition to good doctrine. Then he says this last. He said, separate from some people that are your brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse number 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Don't be around people that commit fornication, period. Somebody says, preacher, how am I going to do that? The whole world's filled with fornicators. Well, he answers that in the next verse. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. He said, if you had to get away from all those people, you'd have to leave the world, because the world's full of them. So he boils it down to this. Next verse, 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. And here's the wicked six, I call it. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. Look at it. With such an one, no, not to eat. And he said, verse 13, but them that are without, God judgeth, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And of course, this is talking about church discipline. They had to put a man out of the church of Corinth because of his fornication. He said he was a brother. He said, well, no, we're not going to fellowship with you. You know, that's a very, very difficult thing to do and unheard of thing to do today. But we've had to do that, and we'll have to continue to do that, not because we enjoy that, because the Bible tells us to do that. Because we don't want a church full of fornicators. And we don't want a church full of covetous people. But we want people that love God and we're trying to be right with God. And that's not ugly. You can do that and not be unkind. 2 Thessalonians, I got to finish. Chapter 3, verse 6. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 6. So this attitude, you know, just let everybody, whatever you do, however you live, just come on in and we'll all fellowship together. That's foreign to the Bible. That's foreign to the principle of separation in the Bible. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 6, look at it. Now we command you, brethren. You see that? That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Drop down to verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Verse 14. And if any man, look at it. If any man obey not our epistle, our word, by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You see what he's saying? It's not that we're going on the warpath with people that are our brethren. It's just, look, man, I can't fellowship with you. I can't fellowship with you. And relationship and fellowship is different. We've had to deal with that in our own church. You know, you can't help who your parents are. You can't help who your children are. There's a relationship there. But relationship and fellowship is two different things. And God says, you know, you can't fellowship with somebody that looks at the Bible and says, I don't care what that says. I'm going to live however I want to live. Because you don't want that to rub off on your life and your family and your children. And that's not ugly. That's the principle of separation in the Bible. And you can do that with the Spirit of Jesus Christ.